Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen, Lamar doesn't take it lightly more than anybody. And no player on this team takes it lightly. I mean, we have conscientious guys, so that's what you do. You go back to work. You go back to work, and you get in there, and you practice, and you study it, and you work together to be as precise as you can. It was not a precise offensive performance in any way. You know, there was nothing precise about it. It was imprecise in every way, and we all know that. We're all not happy with it. You know, we're very disappointed by it. But you can't live in it. You got to move on and come out swinging the next time. And I think if you watch the league, you'll see that that's very possible.
John Harbaugh, sounds like he was asked originally about Lamar Jackson, and said everybody has a bad day, but the reality is Lamar Jackson's had a bad month. You can spin the Viking stats and say he was a little better than things looked, but he was not good against Cleveland. He was not good against the Jets, and he was frankly awful Thursday night against Cincinnati. So with that in mind, how concerned are you about Lamar Jackson, and how confident are you that he can get back to anything close to what he was, say, a year ago?
Well, and maybe we put this to a poll. I mean, I think on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like an 8.5.
Yeah.
Maybe an 8. I mean, he's so uniquely spectacular that you leave the door ajar. That there'll just be this sort of miraculous turnaround, and all of a sudden he'll look like Lamar from MVP years past, or even last year, which was inarguably his best season ever. That can't be argued, and yet it wasn't an MVP season. I don't think physically we're at a point in the season where you can say, well, there's time to turn it around. Like, the games are starting to become more congested. The import of the games ratchets up. The intensity ratchets up. The weather is less conducive to staying loose and staying warm. So I think there's a lot of factors you could reasonably look at and say, yeah, I mean, they've had their bye. They had the period where they played, you know, twice in 3 weeks. Now it's starting to ramp up. I think you have to be really concerned. And like, the other thing is, there's not a single other individual on the offense who's having, like, take best season out of it, is having like one of their better seasons. Like, you could say Zay, he's only had three. Like, okay, maybe Zay. Mm-hmm. But Bateman's fallen off a cliff. Likely has had, I mean, it's been a nothing burger season for the most part, heightened by a ridiculous fumble over the weekend or Thursday night. Andrews is slowing down. No one on the offensive line's distinguished themselves. Ricard, I think, is still pretty banged up and is coming off a game where he's played the least since he came back. I mean, Derrick Henry, don't get me started. Like,
he's going to rush for 1,000 yards, grading on a curve here. Like,
it's not. It's like. So the thing is, like, if it was somebody other than Zay, who basically cleans up Lamar's messes, who catches, you know, catches lobs to the middle of the field and turns them into bigger gains.
D-hop?
He's having
a good D-hop season? Yeah. Stop.
It sort of gets to the question that we were asking a lot, especially when they started 1-5, who's better year over year? And the only guy that you could argue is Zay Flowers, and we've seen him fumble with some regularity this season. But in terms of the Lamar Jackson of it all, yes, you have to be concerned because the injuries are piling up, and now it's not just affecting his running ability, that the accuracy is way off. It's so uncharacteristic for him. And NFL Next Gen Stats, they got completion percentage over expected. You look in this four-game stretch in which he's completed less than 60% of his passes, he's way in the negative. Negative 9.7 against Cincy, minus 3.1, minus 9.1, minus 16.3 against the Vikings. He's missing layups. Now, if I'm going to look at this with the glass half full perspective with Lamar, he was certainly a much more willing runner against the Bengals. I still think he's missing that final gear.
Yes.
And what does this look like with the extra days? I'm not expecting him to be fully healthy or anywhere close to that, but could this look a little bit better with the extra days coming off the Thursday?
I don't know if the pass means anything at this point. I'm hopeful, but I'm completely not confident. He is 20-3 in December for what that's worth. So he has played his best football in December.
But we could go and say he's always great in prime time.
Yes, no.
Great against the Bengals.
Sure.
No. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or Evens at home in prime time.
Yes.
Yeah. He never loses to the NFC.
Yeah, so like I said, I don't know that it means anything.
And I will say this, if we also want to look at historical context, he struggled against Pittsburgh.
Yes.
He's a bad Pittsburgh team.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
especially there.
Yes. And that's looming.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think, look, there's a lot of smart people there, including the guy who pulls the strings, Todd Monken. If this was an easy fix, we would start seeing signs of life. We would be able to say, okay, when Lamar came back, he plays the game against Miami. He says I'm 100%. He's nowhere near 100%. Now my spidey senses are tingling. But like even then, it's like, okay, well, maybe they could lean into quick passes and killing people in the slot. No, that didn't really happen. Well, okay, 2-3 weeks ago, maybe they'll ride the tight ends and they'll play a lot of 12 and 13 and they'll throw high percentage passes there and he'll throw jump balls to those guys and they'll run it through them. We haven't seen that happen. In fact, it didn't go so well that way that they decided to play, you know, more 11 than they played in forever this past week. And that was a disaster. So, like, I think if it was as simple as last year where they could just switch the knob, like, we want to go super heavy, we want to go super light, we want to go somewhere in the middle with personnel, like, it's the opposite of that. Now they can't find any real winning personnel groupings for them. So I think it's kind of deep-seated because Monken's not a silly guy. Like, this isn't Giro talking about a non-existent vault.
Yeah.
This guy's won different ways in the NFL and at college. And right now, he can't find a single way to win.
Let me ask you a question. And obviously, we'll have a lot of time to talk about the game Sunday. But as we sort of move away from this past week's games, anything at all the Ravens can glean from what they saw Buffalo do on Sunday
A lot of cutback runs. Yeah. I mean, a lot of inside zone.
Yeah.
I mean,
Derek Harmon will not play again this week for the Steelers. He's an interior defensive lineman. So, can they replicate any of that?
Well, I'd say this. I think they're going to get a different version of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Harmon or not.
I think you're going to get
the best of whatever they've got left here. So I don't think it's going to prove to be as simple as that. And there's a part of me that thinks even down two starters – it might still be a better Bills offensive line, all things considered.
Oh, the interior's much better.
And you really have to defend their quarterback in the run game all the time and the threat of that. Until Lamar proves otherwise, I don't really know that you have to do that here. I mean, I think we're at a different point in time than we've ever been before. Like, that's clearly not even secondary. It's tertiary. It's on the outskirts. Now, if the extra rest really does get Lamar over the hump, And if Lamar's legs become a thing, then that to me is the one way you could lead him out of this. But you kind of have to see it to believe it now.
Yeah, I think to state the obvious, you got to lean into the ground game, but also with that, lean into play action as well, because even with this subpar season that Lamar has had, he still is the best quarterback in the NFL when it comes to play action. The numbers bear it out. 47 of 58, 791 yards, 7 touchdowns and a pick. I think you have to lean into those two things.
Massive Tuesday show. We get started guest-wise. Orioles have a new closer. His name's Ryan Helsley. And what's next for the Orioles? We'll ask IA Hall of Famer. Covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, Jacob Calvin-Meyer. 2:30. Big charity event. Bubba coming up December 6th. We have a special guest joining us at 3 o'clock
most
to talk
likely,
about that.
Probably.
Hopefully. It seems to be that's going to happen, but I don't want to put the cart before the horse. So we'll find out at 3
yes.
o'clock.
You'll know when we know.
Yes.
For sure.
4 o'clock. Brian Wacker, how confident is he that this team can get things turned around? He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Sun. He joins us at 4. And Tim Murray usually joins us on Wednesday, but we're going to be at Towson tomorrow, so it's a heavy guest show with Towson playing Cornell. So Tim Murray's going to join us today. We'll get his thoughts on best bets for conference championship weekend, Lane Kiffin, the playoffs, and everything college football.
Yeah, the more I think about this Lane Kiffin thing, man, like,
what an ass. Like,
and,
really?
And you know what? Shame on LSU, too. You all couldn't have waited a couple weeks? Stop. And don't give me recruits this or that. You're going to sign this guy to a 15-year deal.
Like, the whole with him playing the victim
years,
part of this is incredible.
It's
incredible.
Him and Willard.
Yeah. Yeah. Bald
right?
rat. He's got a lot of bald rat in him. It's like, I wanted to coach the kids.
I'm old enough to remember this guy couldn't win at FAU. And now he's the genius that we're going to blow up. Another program for? Stop.
I was reminded he was fired by Nick Saban a week before the national championship game as offensive coordinator, yeah. And now we're here.
Publicly humiliated. He's been
yes.
publicly humiliated
yes.
three different places.
Yeah. So, alas, Lane Kiffin's the coach at LSU.
And I mean, if you aren't old enough to remember, just Google Al Davis, Lane Kiffin,
yes.
and projector.
Yeah, that was fun.
Pulled
remember
out the
that?
Projector. Oh, I remember it. Yeah.
When we were in grade school, they had that. You're too young, and so is Ben. The whole thing where you put the paper.
The teacher would put their notes
yeah.
on, like, the
white. We had that.
Yeah.
We had that.
Did you? Yeah, because
Al Davis did a dissertation yeah. when he fired Lane Kiffin on a projector.
He pulled it out. It was great. Yeah. Well, that's fun. Coming up next, though, and we talked a little about this yesterday. But what is this defense going to look like? We saw a little in the second half against Joe Burrow. This defense, really good against bad quarterbacks. What is it going to look like against playoff caliber quarterbacks? Jason has something to say about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart.
That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
It's here on the Fan. Ravens lose 32-14 last Thursday, and the Ravens' defense was able to bend but not break in the first half. Four field goals, a goal line stand. Second half was not as good, as Joe Burrow kind of worked himself into a lather after not playing for 2 months. So with that in mind, I will cede the floor to Jason.
Hey, thank you, Ben. Could you get me the Misfits, please?
I got something to say!
On Inside Access.
So there's certain things we bang our heads against the wall about with the teams that we cover here, and you just wonder if things will ever change. And there's a runway now where this defense is going to be facing more real quarterbacks, and they got a beat-up version of Joe Flacco or Joe Burrow the other night, and as he settled into the game, he started systematically picking them apart in the second half on critical downs and critical junctures like he has before, and it just begs the question, when are they going to alter the way they build a defense and try to build one in a way that has been proven in this league to stop elite quarterbacks when it matters most? There was a way, a singular really kind of way, to shut down, on the rare occasion Tom Brady got shut down in the playoffs. You had to have about six guys up front who could rush the passer. You had to be able to deploy them in a multitude of ways. You needed to have elite individuals inside and outside pass rushers. You needed to have a top-notch defensive line. Then he hands the baton to Mahomes, and the same thing happens, to the point where when we saw him in a Super Bowl, he got disgraced and humiliated in a way that's never really happened to him before. Certainly not in games of that magnitude, and it's held into this season. You have to be able to win the line of scrimmage and win it with individuals, not with scheme and not with all the defensive backs in the history of the world, not with everybody telling you you got the best secondary in the world. You got to have dogs who can win the fight up front, which brings us to, again, Thursday night, where they get exposed by a real quarterback again. And the way I look at it this season, you know, the real quarterbacks they faced are Burrow or Stafford or Allen or Mahomes or Goff or Stroud. And those guys have combined for 14 passing touchdowns and no interceptions. And some of them didn't really even have their best games against them. And some of them, like Goff, didn't even really have to throw the ball at all because they ran for 250 on them. Only five sacks against those guys. Pressure rate of barely 25% against those guys. I'm sensing commonality. 255 passing yards a game. No bueno. 67% completion percentage. Boy, you'd like to have that lower. 110.6 passer rating. Yeah. I think you can look at this defense, even at its heights under Mike McDonald, and say it's really scheme reliant. It's really reliant on trickery before the snap, and feigning this to show that, and we're going to simulate this to give you that. But they've never had dudes who went up front. And the closest they had to that, I guess, was Van Noy for a moment in time or whatever. It was probably for periods of time Elway, and they traded him for a league average safety. So that tells you what they really thought of him. I just wonder if this season ends the way I think it's going to end, which is Joe Burrow emasculating them again and Jordan Love emasculating them and Drake May having his way with them. I just wonder, will they make any philosophical changes? Because the best I see it, no matter how much they add to their secondary, we get to December every year and say, boy, they're really thin here. They're really thin there. We get to the trade deadline every year, and it's like, are they just going to keep adding safeties? Yeah, they're always going to add safeties. Or are they going to do anything to win up front? And I get it. They're really not good at evaluating pass rushers whatsoever. There's all kinds of empirical data to back that up during the totality of this general manager's regime. But, like, what will it take for them to actually build the defense that can win in the trenches and win with people? With people who play the game, not the wizard behind the veil who's going to win it by pulling this lever or this great call or this schematic, or let's get a guy out of retirement every year to help us discover a pass rush. When does a blue chip pass rusher step back in that building again? Ever?
We've been saying for years there needs to be a recalibration in terms of not just draft picks, but spending. where they've been bottom five or bottom 10 in spending pretty much every single year that Eric DaCosta has been a GM here, going back to 2019. And the only guy that was making real money at edge this year got traded, that you're mentioning, Adafe Owe on his fifth-year option. So there's got to be a recalibration there moving forward. They have to find a dude up front. And Nnamdi Matabike was that on the interior. But I'm talking specifically on the edge. They have
now
to
they need
find.
Both.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. The whole problem was even Nnamdi wasn't enough. You've got to have Nnamdi and someone who has to be doubled. Like on any passing down, who's blocking that guy and who's helping that tackle block that guy?
I'm with you, but I'm talking specifically at the edge. They haven't had a dude on the edge his entire time here as GM going back to 2019. And for this season, it is what it is. The pass rush, the trade deadline's long past at this point, and they're going to give up yards, and it's something that I've been talking about well over a month now. They have to be great in the red zone. You can give up a million yards, but you have to be great in the red zone. And so far, they have been. They're sixth on the season in red zone defense and 10th on third down. Those have to be the two areas that they need to win because they're not going to get pressure.
I'm
going to
go on a limb and tell you, they're not going to be great in the red zone on the road against elite quarterbacks because they don't have a pass rusher.
It plays into it, for sure.
It's a problem. And the other thing is, like, you look at New England, for example, and they've kind of piecemealed it with a bunch of guys. And, like, there's no real dude, but there's a bunch of guys that can bring it.
I'm going to let you know a secret about them, too. They ain't winning the Super Bowl.
No, I don't think so, but at least I don't think so either. But my point is, like, the
Ravens.
They
didn't think they were winning a Super Bowl this year, and they didn't build a team to win a Super Bowl this year. This guy, every year, thinks they're supposed to be going to the Super Bowl.
My point that I was getting to was they could have signed Calais Campbell, and they could have signed Joey Bosa, and they could have had, and Jadeveon Clowney. They could have, instead of spending money, as you put it, on another corner or a safety or whatever, they could have piecemealed it, and it would. It's not ideal, but it would have been 1,000 times better than what we've got right now because none of those guys cost a lot of money.
Yeah, and I mean, look, if the Patriots, if like, and maybe that is a fair comp, like maybe they're, like, they don't have dudes, and I think it will catch up to them in the postseason and maybe quickly in the postseason. Maybe not. I could be wrong. But you like, study who wins Super Bowls. You either have the greatest quarterback in the history of the world, and a lot of people would say that was Peyton Manning, but how many did Peyton Manning win in the whole time in Indianapolis? One.
Yeah, one in each place.
And then when he won the second one, why did he win the second one?
Von Miller.
They tore people's faces off.
Von Miller
destroyed Cam Newton in the Super Bowl. Interior and exterior. Our guy Derek Wolf, they had two dudes who could win inside and two dudes who could win outside. Like, it's really not rocket. They're not smarter than everybody else. At some point, concede your way isn't working, hasn't worked, will never work.
Let's look at it like just recent memory. Well, Philadelphia beat Kansas City because their pass rush. Kansas City, Chris Jones got after, Brock Purdy. Philadelphia loses to Kansas City because that field was a disaster. Nobody could get, they slipping all over the place in Arizona. The Rams, pass rush, Aaron Donald, that Tampa Bay, pass rush. So recent memory has shown you that if you can get after the quarterback, you can win a Super Bowl.
What's part of the reason Josh Allen hasn't been to a Super Bowl yet? Well, his defense is, who came in there? Miami in the snow and the defense couldn't get after? Like, I mean, you can go through game after game where, why? And they're like the Ravens. They're getting guys a little bit on the cheap, a little bit too long in the tooth, whatever. The ones they've drafted, Boogie Basham and Russo's good. Yeah. He's not great.
Hey, we laughed when they signed Joey Bosa. The guy leads the NFL in forced fumbles this year.
But like, Chris Jones has taken over multiple postseasons.
Yes.
Has taken them over.
Yes.
You need to have a blue chip stud. Really, probably two, maybe three.
Yeah.
Like, they're that much smarter than Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman just keeps collecting them. He's just traded for another one at the deadline. But your way's going to work. Okay.
Come hell or high water, Jason.
Okay. How old's Lamar next year?
He'll be 30,
I think. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Coming up next, the Orioles have a closer. His name's Ryan Helsley. What does Jacob Calvin Meyer think of the signing, and what's coming next for the Orioles, who have a lot of things to check off their wish list? Jacob joins us next here.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm a fan. He's an IA Hall of Famer. He covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, so we're curious to hear what he has to say about the Ryan Helsley signing and what could be coming next. Jacob Calvin-Meyer joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And, Jacob, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So what did you think of the Helsley signing?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Just an FYI, I have a toddler who's not willing to take a nap right now in her crib, and she's currently in a phase where she likes getting her legs stuck in the crib. So if you hear a blood-curdling scream, that would be the toddler. So I probably have to hang up and do that.
No, absolutely. So are you watching on, like, the kitty vision,
the monitor,
like, from the
yeah.
crib? You're watching on the monitor.
So that's not her opinion of the signing?
It's funny. My mother-in-law said that my wife only, when she was a baby, she only did that once. And our toddler has done it at least, like, 8 times in the past couple weeks. Wow. So, but, okay, to Ryan Helsley. Yeah, listen, I think that there's some risk here.
Yeah.
I actually had a piece come out this morning, BaltimoreSun.com, about how that there are some similarities between this signing and the Craig Kimbrel signing. And I know nobody wants to hear that, but right, this is, if you look at Helsley, this is somebody that used to have a dominant four-seam fastball that is no longer a dominant four-seam fastball. In fact, last year, on a per-pitch basis, according to Baseball Savant's run value, it was the second worst four-seam fastball in all of Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, taking the similarities from Kimbrel aside, I do think that this has a chance to be a pretty good signing, considering this is not Craig Kimbrel, right? Kimbrel had been diminished for years at that point. For Helsley, despite the fact that his first half last year wasn't great, it was really a couple of months in the second half when people believed that he was tipping pitches. And if it is that simple, then the Orioles got themselves a really good stopgap closer. That the goal of this signing is that he's only with the team for 1 year because he pitches great, and then he opts out. The concerning part is all the stuff about the fastball and some of the decline that we've seen with him over the years. But otherwise, right, this isn't one of the top fish on the market. Another similarity to Kimbrel, taking a little bit of a less expensive signing. But again, it is a 2-year deal. I believe the first multi-year contract Elias has ever handed out to a free agent pitcher. And so, yeah, I think there's a chance that this works out, but it wouldn't surprise anybody if the decline continues for Helsley.
Well, and this is, to me, why it's even a little more troubling than Kimbrel. Like, Kimbrel was losing Vila. this guy's still 99th percentile in velo. Like, you're not going to get him to throw any harder. Like, it's not like that's going to solve the problem. It's that it was straight and incredibly hittable, and he doesn't have an arsenal. He's a two-pitch guy. And when the going got tough last year and he had to pitch in real clutch, tough situations in a pennant race for the first time in years, because the Cardinals have sucked for years, he folded like a cheap tent.
Yeah, I actually would – I think I would take the opposite approach in terms of the fastball, just in terms of if the velo is still there, that means that there's more of a margin for error, and that there is a tweak that they can make either to his delivery, if there was tipping pitches, or even just a change to his grip, something. If the velo is still there, that means the arm health is – it means there is stuff that he is doing well to be able to throw that hard. So I do think that the odds of – I think the way I view this is that I don't think the floor is as low as it was for Kimbrel, right? Like, I don't envision them needing to release Helsley
right
in September. And I do think the ceiling is higher with Helsley than it was for Kimbrel. But there, I can't get away from the concerns. In fact, if you just go through it, when they first signed Helsley, I was like, man, that's a really good deal. And then, like, honestly, when I kind of dug a little bit deeper under the hood, I was like, ooh, I don't really know about
Jacob,
this.
Jacob, here's the problem. You didn't have to dig deep. 5 minutes on the StatCast page, and you're like, what the hell am I missing here?
Right. Well, actually, what I was thinking, I actually just saw a report that there's some of the teams that are interested in Pete Fairbanks. In my view, I still think the Orioles should be in the market for another back-end option who can comfortably close. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to spend massive bucks for that. But, like, even if it's a I think Fairbanks would prefer to close. But, like, even if it's like a Sir Anthony Dominguez bringing him back or somebody like that, I don't think they can just go out and get another two middle relievers
right
to round out this bullpen and say, oh, our back end of our bullpen is Helsley and Kittredge, and we're comfortable with that. I don't think that's gonna pass.
So we've seen him bring back Kittredge. We've seen him bring in Taylor Ward, trading Grayson Rodriguez to the Angels, and then, of course, bringing in Helsley. What do you expect the next move to be?
Yeah, I think everybody would expect it to be a starting pitcher, or at least that's the one that most people would want to see. I do still think that there's multiple moves that they need to make in the bullpen. I still think that they need a third catcher that they can rely on to be more than that, considering their top two catchers have showed injury concerns over the past couple of years. They probably need either or both of another outfielder who can play center field and a utility infielder. So there's a lot to get done. The big things, though, are the starting pitchers. And I guess you just have to wait and see. The winter meetings are coming up. I do think if there's any starting pitchers that are on the trade market, Freddy Peralta is one that really catches my eye. Mm-hmm. If there's any guys on the trade market that they could get, I do think that they would be significant players in that.
We're talking with Jacob Calvin-Meyer. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Ryan Mountcastle, they tendered him. Do you believe he will be here come April?
Yeah, actually, the last time you guys had me on, I think you had asked me, it was like the day before the tender deadline,
yes,
and you'd asked me about him. And I said I could see it going anyway, yeah. And I did say that I was leaning tender. Actually, the more I had thought about it, there's this new rule in the collective bargaining agreement where, not to get too far into the weeds, essentially, if you take a player to an arbitration hearing, his salary does not become fully guaranteed until like the last week of spring
Didn't
training.
Did the Giants do that with someone?
Yeah, it was
Chapman.
JD Davis.
Yeah.
So and that was a similar situation. Like JD Davis, they took him to arbitration and it was like $6 or $7 million, and they cut him at the end of spring training. And so I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I just think that that is a factor here that this does not guarantee that Ron Mountcastle is going to make $8 million for the Orioles next season. I think either they will find a way to package him in a trade this offseason. I don't think Milwaukee needs a first baseman, for example, but like if the Pittsburgh Pirates are trading Mitch Keller and they still want to try to win, then I think that makes sense to package Mountcastle and a couple other prospects in the deal for Keller. That, again, just completely throwing that out there. And then if they don't find a trade for Mountcastle, then you go into spring training and you see what it looks like. If you're super confident in Coby Mayo, then maybe this is a JD Davis situation. Otherwise, it would not shock me if Mountcastle is on this team next season, because this is a guy that you know, despite the frustrating aspect of his offensive performance over the past few years, from May 1st on last season, he hit like 275. And I think you can make a strong argument that he has just a good of a chance of a bounce back offensively as Colton Cowser, as Adley Rutschman, as any of these guys.
So let's just take a step back, big picture here, because I remember when they fired the manager and they talked about introspection. And then we find out through the media that Elias is a new title. And they say, well, we might bring in a GM too, and we're all about new ideas, and we've got to rethink the way we do things here. And so they bring back potentially Kimbrell 2.0, but a little bit younger. Like, I mean, that it's very much on brand. A guy down on his luck coming off a down year with some basic variables that pretend concern, who they basically are going to rent for a year plus. That's what they do. Tyler Ward, they rent a power over anything else, right-handed bat for a year at a fixed cost, $13 million, which is palatable because that's what they do. They bring back Kittredge. Well, duh, that's on brand. They have already had him. Like, and if you tell, even if they get Peralta, like, okay, so 1 year, $8 million. None of these seem to be even short-term, as in 2-3 year, let alone long-term solutions. Am I crazy, or is this just more of the same?
I mean, let me add a couple more. They fired their manager, who they had hired as a first-time manager, and then they hire another guy that, you know, first-time manager.
And make him keep half the other guy's staff. Make him keep half the old guy's staff.
They part ways with the hitting coach, and the hitting coach that they hired to replace him is a guy that was a mentor for the hitting coach that you fired. or parted ways.
Yeah.
So, listen, I think that this is very similar to my views of the young core, actually. This is, whether it's right or wrong, isn't really for me to say. If this team is successful moving forward in the next 3 to 5 years, it will be because of the young core. If it's not successful, it will be because of the young core. Similar to the front office, I never really believed, and I don't think anybody should have believed, that they were going to truly change anything significant about their process. These are people that believe strongly about what got them to this point, what got them to 2023 and 2024, what got them to a World Series in Houston, what got them to success in St. Louis. And so that goes with the hitting philosophy as well. And so these are people that believe strongly in their process, and they're not going to let a down 2025 season drastically alter that process. And I think most people would understand that. I think what most people would prefer is that there's at least some consideration on the edges of things. And maybe we'll see that next season with Albernaz, and maybe things will be done a little bit differently. But it wouldn't surprise anybody if that's not the case either. And it wouldn't surprise me either if it's not the case and everything's the same and they still win 90 games. So I guess we'll just have to find out on that front.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you.
We made it through, and the toddler is asleep.
Yes. That's the most important
guys. Here come the screams. Thanks, Jacob. Yeah. Coming up next, we'll give our thoughts. Hot Corner, the winter meetings are a week away. What's next for Michael Elias and the Orioles? We'll tell you next here on The Fan. Winter meetings start, what, the 8th, which is 6 days away. So there will be signings aplenty, you would think, at the winter meetings. And there could be some trades. With that in mind, Jeff Passan and Kylie McDaniel, who's been a frequent guest on the show, put out a piece today.
He ghosted us, though. Didn't he join the Ghost Us team, Kylie?
I think the last time I tried to get him on, I think you're right.
Yeah, you know, now that you mentioned, I texted him and he never got heard back. Alas.
And Phil Simms is on thin ice.
Yeah, what's going on, Phil?
From the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Come on. Chuck might have been right on that one. Chuck Bucks has a correct read on that one. He went from begging to come on the show to like.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Who is the Doug Ferrar?
Doug Ferrar. Dude, completely
Doug
ghosted
was the
us.
The craziest one. We had him on a lot.
So
yeah, he wants nothing to do with it.
They put out a piece of guys that could be traded, their chances of being traded, and the potential suitors. And basically, every pitcher that could be traded, they have the Orioles as a suitor. For what it's worth, they think that Joe Ryan and or Pablo Lopez are going to get traded by the Twins. They have it at 50%, and the Orioles are a suitor for both. So with that in mind, what do you think is next for the Baltimore Orioles? They have made 4 moves already. Remember, they signed Leodis Taveras as a depth outfielder. They traded Grayson Rodriguez for Taylor Ward. They signed Ryan Helsley, and they traded for Andrew Kittredge.
Yeah, well, I do think he's going to do something at this meeting. I think it's clear Like, look, they're not doing anything differently. We just talked about it with Jacob Calvin-Meyer. But they're checking boxes, and he does want to check his boxes early this year, because I think the one thing he is pushing back on, the one area in which it's clear he's trying to say we're not the same Orioles, is instead of doing all the same stuff you predicted we would do, but us doing it at
the
end.
That's what I said yesterday.
Yeah, we're just going to do all the stuff you thought we were going to do early.
Christmas shopping.
Get it out of the way. So I don't have to listen to all the holidays about what's he going to do, what's he going to do.
Yeah.
Here's your team. Now give us your money. You know, like when we announced Albert has.
Yeah.
Now
perfect time to buy tickets.
The guy you all wanted. You never heard of him.
Yeah.
But give us your money now.
Yeah.
Hider 2.0. Pay us. So I think he's going to get a pitcher. And I think he would prefer to trade for a pitcher. There's got to be sticker shock about. There's always sticker shock with these guys.
Oh, yeah.
There was sticker shock on Eovaldi, who was a steal.
Yes.
So, like, seeing Cease and what he got, I don't think. And people are saying Framber. They're the same people who told you Tucker and Alonzo and all that baloney. Like, I think Peralta is so.
Freddie P, man.
Like, that's
$8 million.
So on brand. Like, it just screams out.
Can't interest you in Joe Ryan?
But Freddie P would be a good acquisition.
It would, but it's another one-year rental.
Yeah.
Freddie P spends a stint on the IL and misses five starts. That's 20% of his Orioles career.
Jason will be counting down his starts.
You're damn right I will. Because that's not how you build a team.
Yeah.
This is not as... There's a reason why you've got 200 kids employed in the minor leagues. Like baseball, hockey... These are organizations that have tentacles forever. You get to own the rights to so many people because it's a hard sport to win in. Like, you're playing a ton of games.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these variables. So, like, you need to have a long-term vision. Who else tries to piecemeal baseball rosters together year to year? Who aspires to have nobody on multi-year deals? Except for the arbitration kids, that's slave labor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are saying, like, Helsley first, and Jacob just said when we had him on, first multi-year.
It's not a multi-year deal.
It's not a multi-year.
That was going to be my second question.
He refuses to do it. He doesn't know how to do it. He's scared to do it.
He got backed into one with Tyler O'Neill, your buddy.
That's just like this.
Yeah.
It was one guaranteed year with an opt-out.
Yeah.
As soon as they left Canada for the first time, as soon as he had to go play right field in Kauffman Stadium, I'm like, they're stuck with this guy. He's not going anywhere.
Jim Bolton, him saying, hope he opts out.
I hated the signing in real time.
So let's close with a hypothetical rabbit hole here. If the Orioles at the winter meetings, say, traded for Joe Ryan and signed Michael King, how would you feel about that?
I would say, who drugged them? I would say, who spiked the sauce down there? Where are they
holiday
going?
Holiday party.
Meetings are. Is it Vegas?
Some hot cider?
I don't know where they are.
I don't know. Nashville.
Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. Well, I was going to use an applicable food. Like, if it was Nashville, I'd say, who spiked the Nashville hot chicken?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think.
It's in Orlando.
I don't know.
It's in Orlando. Maybe some Mickey's Rum Punch or something. Thank you, Beltway Bench.
That's what a real front office might do. So I would be stunned if they did.
I like the Mickey's Rum Punch.
Yeah.
This clown's
right off the top of my head.
Drink around.
So
the world.
We could. So just to clarify, there's a possibility as the holidays close if they did this, and it's a huge
Joe
hypothetical.
Ryan's controllable.
Yeah, 2 years.
Two.
2 years.
Yeah, he'd have to give up.
We get
much.
A happy Jason.
I don't know about that.
Ah. Between that
and the
Dutch guy scoring a goal, we get happiness.
Norwegian,
same difference.
Yeah, sort of. He looks a little Dutch.
Dutch guys have done nothing but let me down. Let me tell you, no way Ben knows. Haaland was not good to us during World Cup qualifying.
Coming up next,
this is Erling Haaland the individual, not Haaland the country.
That Baltimore Urban Baseball Association has a big fundraising event coming up December 6th. We hope to have a very special guest to talk about that and more next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.